We're joined by Russ Stanley. He's the Vice President of Ticket Sales and Services for the San Francisco Giants. Russ, good morning.
Good morning, Marty. How are you?
I'm doing great. And, you know, we've been looking forward to your visit here. You know, I take all these calls. And first of all, congratulations on, you know, how many sellouts in a row now?
Yesterday was 225.
Unbelievable. So really?
Cruising along.
Isn't this something?
I mean, it's amazing. I mean, it's really exciting. I know our staff is very proud of it. They take great pride in the fact that we're selling out every game.
You know, I was telling someone the other day, and we're going to talk about the sellouts because, you know, the calls we get, we look up in the corners and the seats are empty. And how do you have a sellout? And you'll explain this. But the world of tickets today is quite different. It's changed. If you need a ticket today, there's like a pool of places you could go to get a ticket. People turn them in. You don't have to stand out in front anymore and try to get one for the game.
No, it's changed, and especially in our particular case where we have almost 30,000 full-season ticket holders, we don't have that many tickets. We have, 12,000 tickets to sell each game to groups and individuals. So you're right. Our season ticket holders have many opportunities to place their tickets up for sale. The Major League partner is StubHub, but in addition to that, there's hundreds of other sites.
Yeah, you don't have to stand there. I used to come to a game and say, if I didn't have a ticket, I said, oh, my God, you know, I got to find the scalper, you know, four blocks away. And if they're that far out, then, you know, there's a lot of tickets around. If there are no scalpers out there, you know, you got a rough game to get it. But the scalpers still exist?
Absolutely. They're still there. And I think that's a good sign. It shows that there's huge demand for these tickets. Otherwise, they wouldn't be here. Typically on a day of a game, we'll still have tickets that we get back from the visiting team or the umpires that go to the windows. We'll still have standing room. So even in a sellout situation, you can come to the game, or even, you know, nowadays, you don't even have to come. You could go to our website at sfgiants.com, purchase your ticket, send it to your phone, and come in through our turnstile.
So, all right. So let's say it's 5:30. It's a 7:15 game. I'm home. And I say, I want to go to the game today. I could go to the website and find, would the tickets be turned in already, the ones that are going to be unused?
Typically, those come back about 2 hours before the game.
Okay, so about 5:15.
They would go back. And so, yeah, about 5:15. So if you're sitting there and you decide you want to come, I would go to our website because those are put into an open status and you could buy them anywhere, whether you're here at the ballpark. So if you're not at the ballpark yet, I would just go online and pick up the tickets. And you can print them at your home computer now.
I like it.
Yeah,
all right. No, look, I'm
amazing.
The guy that went to Plant City on an exhibition game. I had to get a ticket. I don't even know if I could get a ticket to see the Reds play in the late 80s.
I hope you had kept some of those ticket stubs from all those games that you talk about on the air.
Well, a couple of them.
Something by now.
I have the Cal one of the play. I gave that to my son-in-law.
Good,
he's a big
good.
Cal fan, but that's about the only one I got. Russ Stanley is with us. All right. We've got many calls, and I'm sure you get inquiries as to how these sellouts are computed. Because you look up in the corners, and you see some empty seats.
Sure.
How do you do this? Are these legitimate sellouts?
Absolutely. Our goal is to sell 41,000. There's 41,500 tickets or seats in the building. So that's our number. So you'll see the number fluctuate anywhere, and that includes player tickets and umpires and things like that. So our number is 41,500 distributed. So that'll include some comp tickets for that group. But you see our number, I think, was 41.3 yesterday.
And, yes.
Yeah, typically we'll have 600 comps for the home team, visiting team. The umpires get tickets, that kind of stuff.
All right, so when it's 41,310 and you've got 41.5 of seats and you call that a sellout, do you make it up with the other 200 as comps and other ones that go?
Typically,
so they count in the standings of tickets sold, not sold, but of potentially for a sellout. Those numbers can be added in.
Right, those are tickets distributed.
Okay.
In that particular case, let's say it's 41.3 and there was 500 comps. That means we probably sold a few hundred standing room as well.
Okay, so in other words, when you have a sellout, 41,500 are distributed in one way or another.
Right.
Sold, either sold close to that number, and then the umpire, visiting team, comps, whatever, get it over that number.
Yeah, exactly. And in our case, typically we're getting into standing room almost every night. I don't know. There's been a game this year that we haven't sold some standing room.
And how many do you sell in a standing room? How does that work?
Typically, it'll be a few hundred a game. Sometimes upwards of 1,000 for a big game.
Okay. Now, people look in the corners and they see empty seats. Yeah. How does that happen?
That's probably the most frustrating is, you know, what, not only do you have to get them sold, but you have to get them used. And you see pockets of seats where people aren't using the tickets.
Right.
And, you know, typically, you know, we could go 8 to 10%. No-show. So, you know, that's still a lot of tickets. Even for, you know, it's crazy to be said, but even on opening day, you might have a few percent, or even a World Series game, you have a couple percent, and you wonder, how did that person not use the ticket?
Yeah.
You know, it's not easy to get an opening day ticket or a World Series ticket, but yeah, we'll still have a few percent that just don't use the ticket. And you wonder, you know, something come up at work. You know, anything can happen. A car accident, I suppose, but why you would not use your ticket if you worked that hard to get it is kind of amazing.
Well, people have many reasons, but you usually see the open spots in the corner. I always look. I'm looking at left field in the corner. So those people just don't show up?
No, I think they come and then they walk around the ballpark.
Yeah.
You know, not that we condone seat poaching.
Yeah.
And we're trying to come up with an electronic way to do that, even as we speak. But I think they come up and they sit in the seat. And also, I think on a day game, it gets pretty hot up there. In that one corner, the way it faces the sun.
Sure.
So I think people will sit there and either move somewhere else or move down or walk around the ballpark. I mean, that's what's great about, I think, this stadium and this team is, and even the group that I work with, they've created an environment where it's more than just what's happening on the field. If you're on the club level, we have this great museum of old Giants memorabilia.
Yeah.
It's great to walk through there. I walk through there all the time, and I see something different every time. You know, we have the playground and the Coca-Cola fan lot. So there's a lot to do here, more than just what's on the field. I mean, obviously, we're selling baseball, but we're also selling the entertainment experience around the ballgame.
Yeah, I said it last night on the air because the ball club's 52-64, and it would take a monumental losing streak by everyone in front of them and the Giants to go on a big winning streak. It's just very unlikely. But I said it last night, but there's another sellout of people. And, you know, it's funny you brought it up. I forgot that I mentioned it last night. When that three-run rally happened in the sixth inning, you would have thought it was the third game of the playoffs.
Yeah.
And the fans are here, enjoying it, and that's why they sell out.
Exactly. No, we're still a good team. We're fun to watch.
Yeah.
You know, we've said it with our friend Mr. Beyer, you need a little luck. And some of the luck that we had last year hasn't been with us this year. But fans are still excited. This is really the place to be. We put together, I think, with the environment and the experience, you know, we joke about this being the place to be because it's an old Seinfeld line, but
right. It's
the place to be.
I like it. All right. Russ Stanley is with us. He's a VP in charge of ticket services and ticket sales and services, actually. So the 41,500, those tickets are distributed every single game, and that's why the sellout streak continues. I want to make that very clear.
Exactly.
All right. All right. Those are the calls I get.
You don't need to be Professor Wotus to figure that out.
All right. I'm going to be a lawyer now. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
You say that. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Very good.
I stand by that, sir.
All right. Very good. All right. Now, the next question, and I brought this up to you earlier in the week. We had a tour that Beer Can took with a lawyer and some commissioners and from Santa Rosa, and then they sent me an email. And they said, look, we're season ticket holders, but we want to go to these special events and get the bobblehead and things like that. But to do that, we have to buy another ticket. We already have a ticket. So how do you deal with this for season ticket holders? It's like a Jerry Garcia, Frank Sinatra, whatever. You know, you have all these special events all the time.
No, our guys are on the special events side have created such a great group of giveaway items as part of the event that we'd get that a lot from season ticket holders. There are quite a few events where we'll over-order an item or run out of tickets for a particular special event and have extra items where we'll offer them to season ticket holders to purchase. We also offer season ticket holders at the beginning of the season the chance to purchase a package that includes 10 or 12 of our best
special items,
the special event items.
Okay.
So they can pre-order them so that as a season ticket holder, they don't even have to deal with it. They just order at the beginning of the year. And then I believe they're shipped one batch at the All-Star break and one at the end of the season.
So 10 or 12, how many do you do, like 25 or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, it's probably double that, but the most popular ones are the ones that are included in this package.
So you're saying, Russ Stanley, you are saying to this jury
Yes, Your Honor.
If a season ticket holder wants the special giveaway, they can redeem a coupon or do it earlier in the season to get it in a bulk fashion.
Yeah, but I would assure you, Your Honor, that there are times that there's one special event that is not part of the bulk package. It's not one that we have an abundance of. And that's, you know, that's going to happen.
Yeah.
We do have a client relations team that, you know, it's a great group that services our season ticket department. And I would, they would bend over backwards. If you called and said you didn't get the Italian heritage cap,
sure.
They would figure out a way to get you one.
All right. I didn't get the dreidel, by the way.
I'll work on that this afternoon.
All right. Now, we got a nice tweet this morning from Peter Hartlob, of course, a wonderful writer for the San Francisco Chronicle. I didn't know that your dad, John Stanley, was the host of Creature Features on KTVU, Channel 2 in the 70s.
Yeah, many years.
Come on. I didn't know that.
The 80s through my high school years.
Well, you must have had an interesting young life there with that.
I did. It was a lot of fun. You know, most kids don't get a chance to go to lunch with Clint Eastwood or go on the set with Carl Malden. So it was an interesting upbringing as well as, I mean, he spent 35 years as a entertainment editor for the Chronicle. Yeah, it was an interesting way to grow up, and I think it certainly gave me an opportunity to go to a lot of baseball games as a kid too. While he was working at KTVU.
Well, now, but Creature Features, and I grew up in Miami. We had that. We had a guy they used to call him M.T. Graves. That's what he did every Saturday.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, he did. He would do the creature feature kind of thing. So, how did your dad get into that?
Well, he was like Ron Wotus. He was the professor.
Okay.
At the time, it was when I was growing up, Bob Wilkins was a host of Creature Features.
And right,
Bob,
that's right.
Bob leaned on my father for movie information, what he thought of a particular movie, should they run it, particular special events that were going on in the city, comic book conventions, things like that. And Bob leaned on my dad a lot. So when Bob decided to retire, I think it was just a natural progression that my dad stepped into it. And, you know, they both played the character really straight.
I was going to say that.
As opposed to M.T. Graves.
They put him in the dungeon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Much like your dungeon here.
Yeah. We call it the bunker.
The bunker. Okay. You need to get the heat up in here.
So he would play it straight because Wilkins was a little strange, I remember. You know, he was a little strange on the air.
Yeah, but they weren't dressed up as vampires
and
Frankenstein. But, you know, you actually learned something about the movie that was on, especially when my dad took it on, the interviews that he did. I mean, I would enjoy going to interviews with him because inevitably every time at the end, the person would comment on how much research he had done. In those days, there wasn't Google, so he had to go through the books that he had in his library. And he was very well-versed, you know, prior to every interview. And, you know, each person he would talk to would say, wow, I haven't talked about that movie in 30 years or 10 years, or how did you know that I was in that?
You ever meet Vincent Price or any of the great stars?
He was on the show. I don't recall. You know, I was pretty young when he was doing the interviews. I know he was on the show. But they taped that show on Friday afternoons.
Okay,
not to give away too much. It wasn't live on Saturday nights, but it was Friday afternoons. So I was in school, so it was hard to. When I did sneak away, it would be more of somebody I was really into, like Chuck Norris.
Sure,
you know, I snuck out, and my dad did a lot of these mini movies that were a lot of fun. It gave me a chance to, you know, Chuck Norris is a good example of someone to hang out with him and his brother years ago. It was a lot of fun.
What's your favorite creature feature?
Wow. You know, my dad and I inevitably will watch Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Oh, come on. I grew up with that.
Whatever
I just still have dreams about that.
We'll go on the big, you know, for some reason that's always on the big screen somewhere. And that's always, you know, great fun. And there's a version that's in 3D as well.
Really? That's just what I need. I don't have enough dreams right now.
You know, Vincent Price and the House of Wax was always one that we enjoyed, too.
Very good. Well, a pleasure talking. I didn't know this. Peter sent me a tweet this morning. And
that's good.
We have a number of people who commented on it as well. So I appreciate you being on.
That was great.
This
Thanks
fun.
For having me.
All right. That's Russ Stanley. He is the creature feature expert now and also vice president of ticket sales and services. And the sellouts, we've proven it today, are legit. That's the main thing. All right, Russ, thanks so much.
Thanks, Marty.
All right, that is Russ Stanley. All right.